Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 33, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman interview West Coast professional anglers Bryant Smith and Clayton Eastlick. Bryant is a successful California angler with several major West Coast wins. Eastlick is an up-and-coming professional angler. Both give insights to fishing West Coast and tournaments in the eastern United States. Tackle Time features Pico Lures, Wide Gap Football Head Jigs, and the Easy Keeper Coil System. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and National Sales Manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil System. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wiegman. Mitch isn't with us this time, but he will be next time. He'll be around when Tackle Time comes on a little later on the show. Today, we happen to have some West Coast anglers that are here fishing in a tournament, but we're actually blessed to have him, you know, have both of the anglers here because we're actually trying to find out some different stuff. You know, they're coming from California. They're fishing in this area. Sometimes a California angler, when they come to the Midwest and to the Southeast, it doesn't play real good. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it's a risk-reward type thing. Long drive and to see what happens. So our first angler is Bryant Smith. And the other one is Clayton Eastlick. And so we'll start with you, Bryant. I hear that you've been having success out there on the tournament trail. How's the last couple months gone?
It's been good. You know, it keeps me busy out there. We got a lot of different fisheries, a lot of tournament trails out there, and I pretty much fish everything. You know, every big money tournament I can out there. Just to keep me busy and right. Before, you know, we go out east and, you know, try to qualify for whichever national tour.
Right. And have you won any big tournaments out there on the West Coast?
Yeah, I have. I've won a couple of the championships for the Wild West Bass Trail, and then I've won an FLW Toyota Series out there on Clear Lake. And, you know, quite a few top tens. I've had some pretty good success, and I thought I was ready to jump to a national tour.
Right. And so, Clayton, you're out here. You're definitely a young angler, mm-hmm. You know, and the opportunity of now with the different tournaments that are, you know, tournament series that are coming out. What do you think about your odds and your opportunity of coming from the West Coast and fishing out this way?
Yeah, out here is totally different than California. You know, you got a lot of dirty water. You got a lot of shallow water flipping. California is a little bit more diverse with some deep water and you're just a little bit clearer. So coming out here is a lot different than California. And we have a little bit of a, you know, a learning curve, but, you know, we're ready for it. So,
yeah. And what's your background? Bryant, what's your background in fishing? Is it high school, college? Did you come from any of those?
No, I never had a chance to do any of the high school or college stuff. I just kind of jumped into it. I fished as a co-angler for a few years. Uh-huh. And then I thought I was ready to jump to the front and make the decisions on my own. And I tried it. I struggled. But I kind of persevered through it. And, you know, I've always loved fishing and you know, put tournament fishing on top of that. It just makes it that much more exciting for me. So I knew I wanted to succeed in it, and you know, I've been doing it from the front of the boat probably for about 10 years now out right. west. So well. It was just a gradual progression through that.
And you actually, you probably believe that coming from a co-angler, that's such a great situation where you're coming from that. I mean, we're seeing some of the national pros, you know, they're doing really good, but they started in the back of the boat.
Absolutely. That's the best way to learn. That's what Clayton's here to do. Uh-huh. You know, when you fish from the back of the boat, you get exposed to so many different people, so many different ways of fishing, ways to approach something. It just really opens your mind to that there's not just one way to catch a bass.
Right. And so tell me, who was your favorite angler that you fished with as a co-angler?
As a co-angler, it's a toss-up between Bobby Barrick or Robert Lee. You know, both just really, really impressive to watch. I found myself kind of watching them
right.
more than I was actually fishing. So that was those two, they were surgeons. It was absolutely incredible to watch.
Right. And if I was in the boat with Bobby, I'd be laying on the ground laughing the whole time. I wouldn't even have a fish. I'd go the way in, he go, you got to sign this slip. And I go, I can't sign this slip. I'm crying, you know, from laughing. But so you actually, you have your history really comes from college and doing a different sport, isn't
yeah
it?
No, I played college baseball, so uh-huh. I got the competitive side from that, and right. And then after I was supposed to play minor league baseball, but that didn't work out, so I just wanted to keep in the competitive aspect, and bass right. fishing was that, so it's kept me competitive, and I enjoy it.
So tell us, eye-hand coordination. There's some other professional bass anglers that were minor league baseball yeah. players, and so they actually, like, hand-eye coordination. Tell us what you think. Like, when you're casting, mm-hmm. are you doing some visualization? I mean, how are you yeah. doing that? Is that where that's playing?
I think it comes in effect hugely, because as Brian's a great caster, I try to work uh-huh. on my casting as much as I can. I think quiet entries, you know, long cast accuracy is huge to get a lot of bite, especially in shallow water. And hand-eye coordination definitely, you know, plays a part in that, just like baseball, hitting a baseball, anything like that. So if you can put it where you want it, just like being a pitcher, anything in baseball, you're just going to have more success.
Yeah, and how do you think, if someone was to compare baseball to fishing, baseball, 9 innings, long, yeah. and a lot of chewing and spitting sunflower yeah. seeds. How about on fishing? Is it kind of, have you learned things from baseball
yeah.
and playing college baseball, and that's how, you know, this, I've learned this, and now I'm going to apply that to fishing?
Baseball and fishing are super similar. There's a lot of competitive aspects, a lot of hand-eye coordination, and a lot of hard work. I think a lot of people don't see on the outside of practicing, casting, you know, just like taking swings, anything like that.
Right.
They're very similar, and I think to be successful in both, you have to have a really hard work ethic and, you know, take it super serious. And if not, you're just not going to have the success that others have.
Are you fishing in the front of the boat or in the back of the boat?
For the opens, I'm fishing as a co, and for the FLWs back home, I fish as a pro.
In the Toyota Series?
Toyota Series, and I do the Wild West, the One Bass Open, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, in front of the boat?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have the same boat? Do you both have...
Both have Rangers, yeah.
Both have Rangers? Mm-hmm. Powered by Mercury?
Powered by Mercury.
Mine's an Evinrude, but it will be powered by Mercury very soon. So.
All right. So it's kind of similar. You're starting to set it up, so it's kind of the same. Like, it's kind of the same boat, so.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
For that.
Mm-hmm.
So the drive, how long a drive is it from California, where you live, say, to here in Texas?
It says 29 hours on Google Maps when I type it in, but it ends up being more like 35, 36 with stops and sleep. You know, I don't sleep very much.
Right.
I've always been the guy that just, I want to get there. I don't want this drive to take any longer than it needs to be. But yeah, took about 36 hours to get here.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time. So you came with them. Did you drive some or not?
No, I actually flew, and I got lucky. Oh. But me and Bryant actually... Oh. I drove out for him for the first open, and then we drove right. back. We actually made it back in one day.
Pretty much.
From here, yeah.
Wow.
We just took turns. driving through the night. So
there you go. So coming from the West Coast, what do you think your strength is when it comes to fishing?
Coming from the West Coast, it's not so much one technique. It's just the ability to do them all. You know, versatility is probably the biggest thing you get out of fishing on the West Coast, because we have the natural lake and Clear Lake. We have tidal water in the California Delta. We have deep water in like Shasta and Oroville, stuff like that. Spotted bass, smallmouth. We kind of have it all. So to be successful out West, you have to be versatile. You can't be, you know, just a good flipper or just a good cranker. You know, just one trick ponies don't work out there. You have to be versatile. And I think that's the biggest key and the biggest advantage you get from growing up in the West Coast.
Yep. So, Clayton, what's your strength? Are you a drop shot phenom? Are you topwater? What is, like, if you think, like, if you're going to win a tournament and you were doing one technique, what would it be?
If I had to, probably just punching. That's my favorite technique for sure. So flipping, punching, stuff like that.
What do you think about these clear lakes like Bull Shoals, Table Rock,
Beaver
Lake, Scary Clear?
No, we're not really, you know, worried about that, because we have places like Havasu. You know, the deltas actually get super clear too right now. It's not what it used to be, but yeah, we learn how to target fish or where they're going to move to in that clear water. Super light line techniques. You know, super ultra finesse that we like to keep a secrets on the West Coast, but it actually helps us be super versatile out here. So,
and how old are you?
I am 29.
You're 29?
Yep.
And so you've been fishing how long?
Since I was a little kid, but actually not competitively until I was about 23. I was working and stuff like that. I fished as a co for about 3 years, and then about 24 is when I really started fishing a full-time circuit.
So if you could give a young angler a tip on catching fish, what would that be?
I would just get comfortable at catching fish. So just, you know, light line technique, stuff like that, get a lot of bites, and then move up to that heavier, you know, more aggressive fishing, you know, reaction fishing, stuff like that. Just get some confidence first with some slow baits, and then start working up and, you know, frog and punch and stuff like that to start using these bigger fish techniques.
So you come out here, and I know one of your sponsors, they is a rain gear, rain apparel. And so we've got a look at it, and you've got a chance to wear it. So tell us a little bit about it. You know, what do you think about it, and tell us the name of the company?
Yeah, it's Buck and Bass, and we came out with the Reservoir shell jacket and bibs. And, you know, rain gear has always been kind of lacking, if you will. It's never performed at the same standard that everything else we use in bass fishing. You know, we spend a lot of money on boats, motors, tackle, rods, reels, line. Everything is always, it needs to perform. Rain gear, for me, it never really performed, and I thought that was the biggest biggest thing in outerwear in fishing that needed some help. So we designed it from the ground up. It took about 4 years, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of, you know, this works here, this doesn't work, you know, do that part again, cut it here, the fit, you know, everything, the hood. And we, you know, building it from the ground up gave us the opportunity to get everything right. And that's what we did. And when I'm out there for 12 hours fishing, you know, whether it's practice, whatever, 8 hours in the tournament, I know I have confidence in that rain gear that I'm going to be dry. And what that's going to do for me is it's going to clear my mind.
You know, right.
I'm not worried about getting cold. I'm not worried about getting wet. And, you know, maybe I get off the water a couple hours early in practice, or maybe I don't make the run in the tournament to go and maybe get a bigger bite at the end of the day because I'm wet and I'm close. So it really, it's just one less thing as a fisherman that I have to think about. And that's exactly what the rain gear should do. You should never have to think about it.
Right. And so, and Clayton, you've worn it. And so tell us about the hood, because you look like someone that likes to wear their sunglasses on top their their hat, or like a baseball player, wear your sunglasses backwards, which I've never figured out because you don't have eyes in the back of your head. But because the Razorbacks, I know you may not have played.
I actually did play that.
Did you play in the Arkansas Razorbacks? Those guys are always doing that. I'm like, boy, it must be hard
baseball
to see.
Baseball players are weird guys, so yeah.
But tell us about that. Tell us about that hood.
The hood's actually amazing. So I've had competitors, you know, rain gear before, and the hood would always flap, make a lot of noise, you know, actually pull back on your neck, which would give you a lot of strain and hurt you throughout the day mostly. But our hood is designed to be aerodynamic and with no flap. It's called a full throttle hood for a reason, and it keeps you dry. It keeps the wind off your face, and you can run as long as you want and not have any fatigue.
What keeps it from like expanding as the wind is blowing in there? It's actually the way that Will
designed the hood. It's just more aerodynamic. The wind doesn't catch. It has drawstrings where you can pull down, and obviously where this zips up, it covers your mouth, everything like that. So you don't have any wind pulling through to pull back the hood on your neck.
Yeah. So I heard the story of you sitting in this rain suit, or it started to rain and you started changing, you know, to put rain gear on, and you sat down. Of course, you know, it's a bad situation when it's starting to rain real hard. And tell us about that story, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when a thunderstorm's going to come in, especially out east. It seems like it's every day we get a thunderstorm, and sometimes they sneak up on you. So when you can get your rain gear on quick and fast, it helps. So we made it so you can do that. The bibs, the legs, they zip all the way up, so you don't have to take your boot off if you have waterproof boots on or something like that. The clips on the bibs, you can do them one-handed. They're magnetic. Probably the coolest thing about those bibs, I get caught playing with them all the time. I mean, it's so much fun to clip it and unclip it because it does it all on its own. And then the jacket, throw it on, double cuff. We did a double cuff so it didn't, there's no leaking, there's no water running down your arm, you know, getting your shirt wet, whatever, something like that, you know, because it will seep over time in other people's, other competitors' ring gear. But the double cuff goes on really quick, and then throw the hood on, zip it up, and you're good to go.
So, your favorite place to fish in California and your favorite place to fish out here, what are those two places?
My favorite place to fish, obviously Clear Lake, because it's a bass factory. And then my favorite place out here that I've actually been is actually Bull Shoals. That was an amazing trip. We were catching them in 48-degree water on crankbaits, just choking it right next to the boat, and it was awesome. You know, smallmouth, largemouth.
Were you using a wiggle wart?
Yes, sir.
Look at that. Now, see, you're already a Southern boy then.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows wiggle wart, that's the deal. That was an original wiggle wart.
It was actually an original. One guy, I was actually nice enough, I don't know why he let me use it, but it was an original wiggle wart. But you could just tell the difference in the way that someone else was using the original. You know, I was using the original, and they were using the newer version, and I was getting a lot more bites than they were. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, you like jerk baits?
Oh, yeah, I love jerk baits. Lucky Crafts, yeah, stuff like that. Strike
Kings, to Bull Shoals in the winter.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place to fish?
My favorite place
is out west.
Out west is actually Lake Shasta, preferably in the wintertime. You know, it's something about chasing those big spotted bass around in the middle of winter. It's special because when you do catch a big spotted bass, you know, you've done something.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to get bites throughout the day, so it's a lot of fun. Out here, it would have to be Sam Rayburn. I really enjoy fishing Sam Rayburn. It suits my style, you know, the grass, the shallow water fishing. You know, it's just something I love to do is stay in the grass, stay shallow. So it would have to be Sam Rayburn out here.
There you have it from our West Coast anglers. We're good enough to come to the show. I appreciate you being on the show, and we'll probably have to have you on again. We're going to find out more about this West Coast fishing.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, welcome to another Tackle Time. This week's Pico Lure of the Week is the Wide Gap Football Head. This is not just your ordinary jig. This is a wide gap football head with the Easy Keeper coil system on it. It's got a 4-aught wide gap hook in it. You can fish this thing through jigs, through standing timber and brush and everything. Keep it weedless. Use a big worm. Use a big craw. Cast and retrieve over points and everything. Drag it on the bottom. Throw it into grass. You name it. This is a do-all, be-all, end-all jig head right here. Anything you need, got plenty of holding power to catch the biggest fish of your life with it.
There you go. There you have it. If you're a bass angler, that wide gap football head is awesome to use.
It's the I Ching, buddy.
Yep. So Bryant and Clayton, they were on the show today. They were West Coast anglers. Always good to hear from West Coast anglers. And they were up here at Sam Rayburn, so we were pretty excited to get them on the show. And so that's what we got. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe, rate our show. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.